Everybody. Come on in. I'm getting all situated here. Change my name. All right. Y'all say hi in the chat while everybody's getting in here. Be sure your chat is set to all panelists and attendees. I'm going to crank my desk up a little bit. Hello, hello. Okay. All right. How is everybody doing? Let me know where you're from. I'm coming hot off of a coaching call, private coaching call. So I am in the zone, ready to do some coaching. So I love seeing all these states and probably get a few countries, a few outside the U.S. here, Canada, at least. All right. So what an interesting call we've got today, right? With, I was just telling my client, my private client that I was talking to, that, you know, I think I was on here last week doing a call, and I was talking about how, you know, your homework was to kind of come up with all your excuses and justifications on why you overeat, right? And so the homework was for you all to listen to the Why It's So Easy to Overeat call in OBS, the lesson. And I've got some little notes here that I'm going to kind of talk about. And then, you know, y'all were needed to come up with your list of all your excuses and justifications to overeat. And I'm just curious to know if they have changed in the last few days, right? Probably a few of them have. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But I first want to just kind of give y'all an overview of what we're going to do and just kind of give, you know, you an overview of, because part this course, or excuse me, this call is a bonus call because we are still focusing on the accountability course this month, right? That hasn't changed. We're only halfway into March. And so we are still focusing on self-accountability. And I will tell you what, with this new circumstance that we have in our world, self-accountability is even more important, right? So many of you all are going to be home with your kids for an extended period of time. Some of you all are going to be, you know, working from home. I mean, working from home, y'all, that is like self-accountability. That is like practice in self-accountability at its finest. I will never forget one of the first jobs that I got. I was working for the American Cancer Society. I was in Lawrence, Kansas, and I worked half of my time at home. Well, I swear my husband's calling me. I told him I had a call at 5 o'clock. I'm on a call, babe. So, one of my very first jobs out of grad school, and I was working from home, and it was such an amazing exercise in keeping myself accountable, right? In self-discipline, or whatever you want to call it, right? Where I set my schedule and I had to get up and put my clothes on and walk down to my office and get my shit done, you know, without anyone standing there watching me, without anyone standing over me or keeping me accountable. I had to keep myself accountable. And so these times that we are in are an amazing opportunity for us to practice all of this, excuse me, amazing content that we are studying this month in the accountability course. So Linda says she worked from home today for the first time. Awesome. Darla's got her her excuse. Life is too difficult right now to stay on plan. Why, Darla? Why? Right? Because that's a thought you're having. So I want you to ask yourself why. Why is life too difficult to stay on plan? What makes the plan so hard? So that's what we're doing. And so yeah, you can't go to the store, but that still doesn't mean that y'all can't stay on plan, right? I mean, we're not talking about specific, we never give y'all specific foods that you need to eat. You can always just follow your hunger scale. Okay, here I go into coaching already. So I do have a little bit of teaching at first, and then I want y'all to, I'm going to ask y'all to do some stuff in the chat. And then if you want to get coached specifically on excuses and justifications to overeat, you can go ahead and raise your hand because I will coach a few people at the end. So, okay, so let's get started. So again, we had that lesson before I get started on that, I want to tell you all about this. So this is what the accountability course is all about. It is about, and I did the R line because, you know, you look at the, oops, I don't want to use the wrong marker here. Think about the model. This is your result. The whole purpose of the accountability course is to work on a better relationship with yourself. That's what we're talking about here. When you become aware of your excuses and justifications to do anything, to overeat, to not get your work done, whatever it is, right? When you become aware of your excuses and justifications, you really get to know yourself, right? You get to know what's going on in this head and how what you might want to change about it. So that's really the whole purpose of the accountability course. And that's why I kind of wrote this up there, because this is what we're about tonight, is to really work on a better relationship with yourself through any circumstance, including the coronavirus, and really working on this relationship and what you do for yourself, what, you know, the relationship that you have with yourself when no one else is watching, right? When no one else is keeping you accountable but yourself. And that's what we're focusing on tonight. So, all right. So I think we just need to kind of go ahead and dive in here. I've got a couple of little lessons, little thing here that I want to talk about. Okay. So for those of you all who have written down your excuses and justifications, you've already done number one. This is what we're going to do tonight with the excuses and justifications. Write them down. So I want y'all to start putting your favorite excuses and justifications in the chat. So I heard one, life is too difficult right now to stay on plan. Having a plan made it so much easier. That's interesting. I have pain from arthritis. I just want it. That's one of the popular ones, right? I lost weight this week, so now I can eat off plan as a reward. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Okay. I'm not sure that may be an intentional thought that you want to keep thinking. Lisa says, I can't focus, right? With, you know, with the circumstance that we've got going on, a lot of times we think I can't focus, a little won't hurt, I was good all day, I eat so much better than I used to. I work two jobs and I'm tired, too busy. Okay, I can't keep up with all your excuses. But someone said, I don't have time to worry about the food. Been sick for 2 weeks. A friend brought me chocolate. How could I refuse? I'm already off plan today, right? Those are all excuses. So the first step is just to write them down and become aware of them. And how do you do that? A lot of you all have probably come up with your list looking back at your discovery worksheets. And that is the best way to really see, because if we're going to talk about looking for patterns, it's so amazing when you have this stack of discovery worksheets that you can look back on and say, wow, that's an excuse that I used over and over and over again. Or maybe this is one that I've never used before. Isn't that interesting, right? And so you want to really just become aware of them, look for patterns, and really ask yourself, is this a legit excuse? I mean, is it something that I really need to work on? And that's where number three comes in. Or is it just total bullshit? So now I want y'all to go back, and you don't have to put in your excuse again, but the one that you typed in, is it legit or is it bullshit? So I want to see how many legits we have and how many bullshits we have. Okay, I've got one BS already. All right. Legit. Okay, good question. What does legit mean, right? Is it really something that is an obstacle to you staying on plan? And we're going to talk about that in a second. Let me just kind of give y'all an example of one that maybe something like, I don't have, you know, I didn't prep any food this week. That could be like a legit excuse or justification that has a solution attached to it. So let me see here what people said. Yeah, lettuce went bad would be legit because, you know, it's got a solution. Like, okay, maybe I need to start, buying different lettuce, or, you know, buying lettuce, later so that it doesn't go bad. Let's see. We've got it kind of a good, we got mostly BS though. Mostly BS. And that's an easy fix. So the bullshit excuses are just, you know, and this is kind of the easy fix for bullshit excuses. This is just an excuse, so I'm just going to do it anyway. That's really what you tell yourself when you got a bullshit excuse. No, this is just something I say to myself. I just keep saying that it's good and I want to eat more, but I'm just going to follow my plan anyway. I just keep telling myself that I'm off plan already, so I might as well just keep eating, but I'm just going to get back on plan anyway. You really want to just call out your bullshit excuses and say, hey, it's just something that my brain likes to think, because it's thought over and over and over again, the same thing. And you, most of the time you've given it food, right? And so now it's just time to call it out for what it is, and which is total bullshit, and then not reward it with food, right? Not strengthen it or give it oxygen with food, because if you keep doing that, then it's not going to, you know, to diminish like it needs to because of the bullshit that it is, right? I've been talking a lot today, so y'all have to pardon me. Let's see. So legit means it has a potential solution. I think that's a good, let's go with that. I think that has a good, that's kind of a good definition for it. If you can come up with a possible solution, then it may be a legit excuse. I mean, when I say legit, it doesn't mean it's an excuse or justification that you want to keep using. It's just one that we can work on, brainstorm some ideas to change it, right? And to address it. So there's bullshit excuses and justifications, and there's legit excuses and justifications. And with the bullshit, you want to just say, okay, this is just something I think, and I'm going to, you know, follow my plan anyway. Or if it's legit, you want to brainstorm some solutions. And that's where we kind of want to go from here in terms of what solutions you could come up with to address your legit excuses. So let me go back up and see. Who has a legit excuse that they need some help with to feeling like the scale isn't moving feels legit, Allison? Let's think about that. The scale isn't moving. I mean, so the scale isn't moving and you're using that as an excuse to overeat? I mean, is that a legitimate excuse? Because certainly if you overeat, the scale's not going to move. right? So you want to think about, well, is that excuse even helping me? It's only just reinforcing, and just, it's only going to keep the scale from not moving, or maybe even get the scale moving up. So it's really not legit in terms of there's not really a solution to it other than coming up with a new thought to think. Someone said it's an opportunity to eat X, Y, and Z. Like, that's your excuse. Like, maybe this is my only opportunity to eat this. Right. But you want to question it and say, you know, well, but will there really be future opportunities? And so that's almost one where it's just like, okay, I just keep telling myself that this is the only time I can eat this, but that's really not true. That's really bullshit. And so I'm just going to stay on my plan, and then I'll be able to plan for it later. Let's see. Let's come up. Okay. I lose focus in social situations. Madeline threw that out. She sees that as a legit thing that really she's looking for a solution for. I lose focus in social situations. Can we brainstorm some solutions? So what solutions do y'all have for Madeline with her excuses that I lose focus in social situations, and so she overeats? So what solution? I have an idea. Does anybody else have an idea? What I have, my idea is for you to develop a social situation protocol where anytime you're, you know, out with friends, or you're at a happy hour, or you're at a, you know, wedding, or whatever it is, right? You develop a protocol. So the moment that you walk in, you do some things very intentionally when you walk in to maintain your focus. And that's really what's happening, is that you're losing focus because you're not being intentional about your thoughts when you're walking into social situations. And so I want you to develop a protocol where you kind of have a list of things that you do when you walk into social situations. And so you may go in and kind of assess the room, you may assess the food, but not really make any decisions about it. But it's really individualized to you. You've got to figure out what's going on when you lose focus, and then address that specifically. Like, what happens when you start to lose focus, or right before you start to lose focus? Let's see what other people are saying. Focus on the people you are with and the conversation versus focusing on the food and drink. So just really being really intentional about that. Imagine it ahead of time. Do some visualization of how it's going to go ahead of time so that you can kind of anticipate any obstacles and come up with any strategies. So Madeline says, at a party, and they pass the appetizers, and before I know it, I've eaten or drank something. So you want to visualize that ahead of time of, okay, I'm sitting there, they're passing things, and I have already decided ahead of time that I'm not going to eat the things that they pass, or I'm going to take one thing, and I'm going to be very intentional about all of my choices to eat and drink during the, you know, during the social situation. And so I'm not saying, you know, this is a practice, right? Because you're used to being unfocused. And so you've got to practice being focused, but you can absolutely do that, right? And visualization is a huge, so powerful way to do that. So you really want to just kind of come up with a list of, like, okay, these are the decisions I'm making ahead of time. I'm going to eat this. I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to, you know, do this when they pass the things around. You know, any obstacles that you can come up with that you need a strategy for, you want to set that all up in your protocol ahead of time. Yeah, and sometimes you just decide not to go at all, right? That's an option too. So let's see. Yeah, and I mean, someone said set a phone reminder, right? You know, set something on your phone to vibrate, or your Fitbit to vibrate, or whatever. Have someone call you during the event, and, you know, or text you and remind you to do this, this, and this, or just send yourself, you know, a reminder during the event. We got to utilize all this technology, y'all. So, okay. Let's see what else. We got all kinds of great, great ideas in here, Madeline. So does anybody else have a legit excuse that they want to brainstorm? I think I'm going to go ahead and take Laura while she's, since she's been waiting, and then we will go from there. But I want, so let's just kind of start to model here. This is what I want all of you all to do with your excuses and justifications. This is where they go in the model. So overeat always goes in the action line, and then your excuse and justification goes here. And the feeling is usually justified because it's usually something that you've thought over and over and over again that you have eventually eaten over. And so when you think, well, I just want it, you feel justified because in the past, when you thought, I just want it, you've given yourself the food every time or most of the time. And so a lot of times your feeling is justified. And so this is the unintentional model, right, that you want to start with. So, okay, let's get Laura on here and we'll model her excuse or justification specifically. All right. Let's see. Let me unmute you. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. How are you? There you are.
I'm good. There I am.
All right. So what's you've got? Have you got your excuse justification?
Oh, I've got many excuses. I have done my list and redone my list. And the one I really want to focus on is my family drives me nuts. Not my husband and son, but my parents and my sibling. Whenever I am with them, number one, my mom and dad are candy-holics. They love candy. They have chocolate everywhere. And my sister and I have a horrible relationship. And when I'm around all of them together, in anticipation to being there, I don't eat, but I get really crabby. Mm. And then afterwards, I'm constantly looking for something to eat on the way home.
Okay, why? Why do you want to overeat when you're on, let's go ahead and do this. On the way home, that's your circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. On the way home, is it from your parents' house?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's going on? Well, actually, let's start with, what are you feeling when you're on your way home?
Usually quite sad. Mm. 'Cause like I said, I have a really bad relationship with my sister. Okay. She never wanted a little sister, and she still makes me know this, even though we're in our 50s.
Okay, so that's part of the circumstance, is that you are feeling sad on the way home. So what do you make this mean? You're on the way home from your parents' house. Your sister has said some things to you. You're feeling sad. What do you make all that mean that leads you to overeat eventually?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure.
Are you wanting to not feel bad.
I'm wanting comfort.
Yeah.
I'm wanting love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think that food gives it to you.
Yes.
Right? And that's something that Corinne talks about in the No BS lesson. So I want you to go back and listen to it again, the why it's so easy to overeat. Because we've just told ourselves for so long that food or drink, you know, it comforts me. It relaxes me. And we got to really start questioning that thought, right? Is it really true? Other than that, just immediate in the moment, you know, hit that we get, does it really comfort us long term?
No.
Yeah.
Because you end up feeling guilty. And yeah.
It really does the opposite, right? Yeah. And the, even, you know, whatever comfort that you got at, you know, in that just initial, immediate thing, it doesn't compare, right, to the, to the back end of shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff. Right. But at the time, this is what you're thinking. I want comfort, and I want you to add this, because this is really part of your excuse, you know, because right now you're still thinking, and food will give it to me. Because if you didn't believe that, you wouldn't keep eating, right? You wouldn't keep overeating. You still think, and I've done this before with my overeating, where I've told myself, you know, we know intellectually, right? We've had these overeats and we felt worse afterwards. But there's something in our brain that has just said, well, maybe this time will be different. Maybe it will really help this time, right? That's how tricky your brain can get sometimes, where it's just like, even though I know I felt terrible afterwards, I just still think maybe this time will give me the comfort that I'm really seeking, the love that I'm really seeking, right? And we have to question that. We have to say, wait a minute, we have all this evidence that just isn't true. And this is not going to be any different, right? It doesn't matter what we eat. It doesn't matter. It's not going to give us the comfort and the love, because we know that comfort and love come from our thoughts.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. And we can work on that model in a second. But again, this is your model where it is, you're feeling justified because you believe that the food will give you the comfort that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You feel justified, you overeat, and then the result is that you just continue to overeat to seek comfort, even though it doesn't give it to you.
Sure doesn't.
We keep looking for it, right? We just keep thinking it'll happen this time, or, you know, or some sort of story like that. That's why, you know, why we keep going, why we keep seeking it. But we've got to start questioning it. So what do you want to, what do you want to think instead? Or how do you want to kind of, because you got the same circumstance, right? None of that changes. Your sister's probably going to still tell you stuff. You may still be feeling sad on the way home from your parents.
Well, I guess what I want to think is that, what I want to think is that it's her problem. It's not me. It's all her. She's the one who has the issues with me. She's the one who has the issues with my parents. Mm-hmm. And we're just good beating posts for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even before that, that's kind of almost working on the model, like on the model of feeling sad. But I want you to go ahead and feel sad, right? Because it's okay to feel sad, right?
Right.
It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel mad or frustrated or anything, right? So the first step is just to like, okay, I still feel sad. I haven't changed that yet, right? I'm still feeling sad about all of this. So how do you want to think about that? Just feeling sad. And, you know, your brain is going to say, oh, wait a minute. Usually we look for comfort, you know.
Right.
We're looking to eat something for comfort. What do you need to tell yourself instead? Because, again, there's going to be times, it may not be with your sister, right? But it may be sometime when you just feel sad.
Right.
And you don't want to eat over it. So how do you want to think about feeling sad?
That it's okay.
Yeah. Like, it's just okay to feel sad sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But again, a lot of us haven't allowed ourselves to feel for a long time. And it, you know, it's we've kind of built it up in our head. It's, you know, it's usually not as scary or as, you know, painful as we think it's going to be, but we've kind of built it up like, well, if I allow myself to feel sad and maybe even cry. I've heard so many people say, you know, if I let myself cry, I'm afraid I'll never stop. But we always do, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, eventually. Sometimes a good cry is really good for us. I always say, you know, I don't cry very much. I wish I cried more. I'm envious of all you criers because it's like you're feeling the feelings, mm-hmm. right? And that's really a good, healthy thing to do. And so for you, I think it's okay to feel sad and you're feeling some compassion for yourself. And accepting.
Which is weird because I have no compassion for myself.
Well, this is a great opportunity to practice mm-hmm. that, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been listening to the accountability course over and over again, so I can get some compassion and get in a better frame.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. I mean, feeling our emotions is really such an amazing practice in compassion, where we can just tell ourselves, it is okay for me to feel anything. I can feel angry. I can feel, you know, sad. I can feel anything I want. I'm just going to own it, right? That's what accountability is all about, is just taking ownership and just owning your feelings before you, I mean, you know, you can work on changing them on down the line, right? We know that we can work on changing them, but the first step is to just be okay with where you are, meeting yourself where you are, right? And it's just like, okay, I'm feeling sad and it's okay to feel sad. This is my practice in, you know, in compassion and accepting myself where I am. And really the action is just to feel sad, right? Instead of eating, you know, I'm going to work on kind of comforting myself and loving myself by just allowing myself to feel sad, whether that, you know, that means crying. You may want to journal. You may just want to just be, right? But it's proving to yourself that you can feel anything, you know, get a hug from somebody, snuggle under a blanket on the couch or whatever it is, and proving to yourself that you can comfort and love yourself in other ways without food. And because food is never really comforting or loving you, right? That's always up to us to do for ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so your result is that you practice feeling. And by the way, there's a amazing exercise in No BS 2 in the phase 2 and with the feelings section, you know, model about, you know, how to kind of really listen to your body as you're feeling things and just get really, you know, you can really just, I mean, you can get to where you can produce any feeling you want, you know, in your body. It's pretty amazing. So you just practice feeling without eating to cover it up. And you practice, you know, comforting yourself without food as well. Does that make sense? You have any other questions?
I'm sorry.
Yes, this is actually, and someone just asked, this is now the intentional model. Yeah. that's what we started working on. So this is your intentional model that you'll start practicing.
Because one of the interesting patterns in my 10, well, 15 reasons is a lot of them have to do with comforting.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, again, your brain gets so creative with, you know, trying to just, your brain just wants you to overeat, right? It wants you to just keep overeating this, you know, this habit brain back here, because that's your habit. Mm-hmm. And it just feels so threatened when you start to do something different. And so it gets really creative with coming up with ways to justify your overeating. But did you find that some of them were just BS?
Oh, yeah.
And you could just kind of throw them out pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of your BS ones?
I'm curious. Boredom.
Okay.
Boredom, being lonely. Because my husband works nights, mm-hmm. and he's got a really strange schedule. So a lot of nights I'm home alone and I'm bored.
Okay, well, that's the thing, though. We could just put bored here, mm-hmm. and we could put lonely here.
Exactly.
So you've got a lot of practice in your future of just feeling all the feelings.
Yay.
Right? Yay.
Uh-oh, okay. Our stores are out of Kleenex. What am I going to do?
I was thinking about that, you know, if I ran out of toilet paper or, you know, I mean, back in the day, they didn't have toilet paper. They just used things and they wash them, right? And so we could just start doing that if we needed to. But okay, what about your any other excuses that you came up with?
You want my bullshit one. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It is good and I just keep going.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to eat it before my family does. Because they eat all the good stuff. And leave that for me.
Like it isn't, you know, but like it isn't available to you, you know, you could go out and get more if you need it, right?
Yeah. Well, now my husband is like, if he'll eat something and I'll be like, oh, that looks so good. He'll go, is it on your plan?
I know.
Yes. Yes.
It's like it's good to get them on board with you, but then again, they start to kind of use it against you sometimes, right?
Manipulate me.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it there in front of me? I'm cooking, or it is there in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'm cooking dinner and, of course, tasting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy and I need to celebrate. Because I've been an overeater since I was a kid, since I had my sister since I was a kid. So some of this stuff is really in there.
Yeah. Well, you want, and this is the when you're really wanted to start, you know, using this. You know, this is just an excuse I've used for a long time, but I'm just going to follow my plan anyway, right? I mean, you know, there's a bunch of those. You just don't even have to do the whole model that we did on it, right? It's just like either it's not true, or there was actually a little list of questions that I had notes on. I mean, do my reasons just sound like an old story? And I think for you, that's a lot of those where it's just an old story. It's just an old sentence that you've told yourself over and over again. Is this something that comes up a lot for me, right? You want to look for that pattern. And is it just something I'm accustomed to telling myself over time, right? You just want to recognize, and this was my favorite question. What would Corinne say if I told her this excuse on a coaching call? So that was my favorite one. It's like, that's a really good gauge of whether it's legit or not. Like, what if I asked Corinne, you know, or one of us, right? Like, okay, this is my excuse for overeating. Would she just be like, oh my God, that's total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, start thinking something else, right?
Exactly.
Gauge of whether something is just, you just need to throw out. So, all right. Well, awesome. Awesome. You've got your list that you know, some of them you can just use this thought on, and then other ones, you know, that you can just kind of come up with some real specific strategies on. And it sounds to me like several of them are just, I just need to be feeling these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just need to feel bored. I just need to feel bored and sit with the discomfort of it and sit with the, you know, the antsy. Like, you know, I need to just feel a little antsy and just prove to myself that I can survive it and that I can be okay. And I tell you what, it just works wonders when we just practice. I say, like, when you just give yourself a little teaspoon of bored, you prove to yourself that, like, oh my gosh, I never thought that I could just be bored and be okay. And it's such a big deal. And so if you can just allow yourself to feel bored, to feel lonely, to feel sad, and just remind yourself that it's just part of life to feel this stuff, then you'll be much less likely to eat to cover it up. Right. Okay. All right.
Time for some feeling.
Awesome. Awesome job. You did great.
Nice to meet you.
All right. You too. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right. Anybody else that wants to get coached, but I may, ooh, let's do yours. Let me see. Let me pull you out. It was the very last one that I got, the comment I got. Oh, shoot. I'm pressing the wrong buttons. What am I doing here? There's the chat. Okay, pop out. Okay, there's the chat. All right. Nancy says, I need to celebrate and feel deprived if I don't get to eat whatever this is, right? So let's model that. Let's see how many models I can do in the next little while till 6 o'clock. Nancy, if you're still on here, what's the circumstance that you want to give me? I need to celebrate. This is for all you FOMO. All you FOMO folks who are feeling fear of missing out if you don't get to eat this. I need to celebrate and feel deprived if I don't get to eat. And again, you always put the overeat in the action line. So I need to celebrate. I'll say, or I'll feel deprived. Let's see. Anytime I have a win. Interesting. Okay. I had a great weight loss. So this is a really common one, right? Weight loss. Okay. You raise your hand. Oh, right, Nancy, you raise your hand. Okay. Let me just bring you up here. Let me pull the chat over here. I'm getting organized, y'all. Let me put this over here. Okay, there you are, Nancy. I'll bring you up and we'll talk about it. All right. There you are.
I can't see me. Am I supposed to?
Let me ask you to start your video and then it should come up. There you are.
Oh, there I am. Okay. I don't know. I've never done this. I don't know how this
works. Awesome. I'm glad you figured it out.
I've watched a few of these, but I've never been on one. So
awesome.
I'm sitting in my rocking chair. I've been homesick for 2 weeks. They say I don't have it, but I'm not quite convinced that I don't.
Well,
I'm over it now, sort of, but anyway. Okay.
Well, take care of yourself. And
I am. I'm just staying home. If everything's locked down, there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go anyway, right?
Yeah. This thing on my glasses is a prism. And I can't. I can take them off. But
no,
then
no,
I
no,
can't
no. You're fine.
Anything.
You're fine.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So tell me more about this. You had a weight loss?
Well, I've been home sick. And actually, before I was actually out because they kept telling me you don't have it. But anyway, I've been sick now for about 2 weeks. I'm finally coming out of it. I've still got a little bit of a cough. But I went to the grocery store the other day and they didn't have any sweet potatoes, which I really like to eat and they're pretty healthy. So I went back yesterday and they had sweet potatoes. And the 2 weeks that I was mostly sick, even though I stayed on plan most of the time, I didn't lose an ounce, which just drove me nuts. And then all of a sudden, I dropped 4 pounds.
Mm.
So I'm assuming that the body was holding on to the weight because I was sick.
Yes. I like to think, you know, we never know exactly what's going on. Right.
I mean, I still have a bit of a cough.
Oh, that's right. But we're not experts on our bodies. Right. But it's like, we can just decide to think whatever we want. And I like to think, you know, if I'm not losing weight and I want to be, and I'm sick, my body is focused on healing me instead of weight loss, right? And that's where I want it to be focused on.
I kept telling myself. Yeah. And then when I dropped almost 4 pounds on, you know, my last weigh-in, I went, oh boy. So I was really good until I got in the grocery store. Mm. And then I walked right past those little square cakes. They're 800 calories. And I just gave into an urge or a craving.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a conversation with, it's an urge and a craving and,
I need to
celebrate. Yeah. You know, I knew it was dumb when I did it, because as soon as I brought it in the house, it was going to be gone.
Well, I think it's because I hear that a lot too, where it's like, oh my gosh, these are so stupid. These are so, but it's like, at least just own it. Right. Where it's just right. Like, okay, I just decided I thought I needed to celebrate. Right. I mean, cause you don't want to drop into judgment, cause that just will.
Right.
Yeah. Will keep you from, you know, from doing the work you really need to do. It's just like, okay,
I'm doing the self-love thing this month.
Yes.
So I'm doing that before the accountability.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I think that self-love is, I mean, it all comes back to self-love, right? I mean, all of this work does. And so it's one of our most important courses for sure. But yeah, it's just like, okay, I thought I had a weight loss. I thought I needed to celebrate and I didn't want to feel deprived. Right. And
that's
so
exactly it.
You, again, the feeling was, you know, you justified it, right? You justified it and you had the urge and you decided to give in to that urge. And, but, you know, but even just the term giving in almost kind of, implies that you didn't have a choice, but you did, right? You always have a choice. And so
I had a choice.
And so it just recognizing that and just saying, okay, isn't that interesting that I maybe see a pattern here. And that's
definitely saw the pattern in me. I didn't even do the discovery worksheet because I knew what the pattern was right away.
Well, but next time I want you to do that discovery worksheet, because the whole thing of just seeing your, just having to write it down again and say, oh, here I go again. I'm wanting to celebrate for, you know, a win that I had. This is another time that I'm doing this. This is a pattern that I'm seeing, right? Yeah. That is sometimes the whole point of doing the worksheet is just to see that pattern again and say, oh, okay, this is something I probably need to address. So, the result is you overeat and you are rewarding yourself.
Right.
With food. When you have a win, you know, and again, you said, do you see this with other wins or is it just when you have a weight loss?
You know, I can make an excuse for a win every day. I mean, I'm retired. I can do, except for now, we can't hardly go anywhere, but I can do whatever I want every single day. So for me, it's like every day is a celebration. Yeah.
So you can just justify it whenever you want, right?
Whenever I feel like it. A friend came over and gave me some chocolate and I immediately ate 4 of those little mini things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went, which was off plan. But, you know, I'm going to try to make up for it by eating lots of veggies for dinner.
Well, it's still just like owning it, right? Just saying, okay, I just decided to have this chocolate and, you know, yes, I'm off plan, but that doesn't make me a horrible person. That doesn't make me bad, but I just
adjusted what I'm going to eat for supper.
Well, and I just want to learn from this, right? Yeah. I just want to, you know, I want to kind of figure out what's going on here. I do see a pattern of
definitely,
okay, I can, you know, I can make any day a win, so I can justify. So you really want to kind of think, okay, I'm going to want it. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. And what happens when I want it, but I decide that I'm not going to have it today. Right. That's kind of the practice that I want you to kind of get into, because
I think it's the feeling deprived.
Yes.
That is the key, at least for me.
Yes.
That I feel like, you know, I can't. And that just makes me mad.
Well, feeling deprived, let's kind of do that model here. So, so we know what's going on, but why do you feel deprived?
Because I can't have what I want.
Well, so what?
Well, I know, but it's a feeling. At least I'm acknowledging it.
You can't have what you want in that moment, right?
Right.
That's what the thing is. I can't have what I want now.
In there. That's exactly what I've been missing right there.
What I want.
Because what I really want is to be, you know, 25 more pounds down. I'm already 40 pounds down. So
right now, you want the food more.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And so it's just recognizing that and saying, okay, I am choosing the food over the weight loss.
My long-term goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And just really, you know, getting honest with yourself about that and saying, there's not anything wrong with that. I'm making all these choices myself, right? And that doesn't make me a bad person.
And there's no gun to my head.
Right. There's no one stuffing the food in your mouth. But you just got to think, okay, this is what's going on. I'm making this choice over this. I'm making this, you know, choice for immediate gratification over long-term goals.
Gratification.
You know, over long-term.
Well, something you wrote earlier, I sort of sticks in my head, and it's something about da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I choose to stay on the plan anyway.
Yes. Okay. So
which is, I think, can be helpful to me.
Right. So that's this little kind of thought down here, where it's just, this is just an excuse that I make all the time. And for you,
this is an urge or craving.
Yeah, this is just an urge, because, and I have this excuse or this justification to, I just had a win. I deserve it. I don't want to feel deprived right now. All that kind of stuff.
That is so mean.
So, but then you say, okay, that's what I like to say to myself, but I'm just going to follow my plan anyway, because and you can add, because this is what I really want. I want
this
my
is what I really want. This is what I have these affirmations all around my house, and that's what I'm going to write up and post on the, wherever the refrigerator, I've got them on the microwave, refrigerator, the mirrors. I live alone, so I can do these things
This is so powerful, because it just reminds you that it's just an excuse is just a thought, right? It's just a thought that you have thought for a long time, that you have, you have responded to with food, this is just something I thought for a long time, and that's okay. But I'm just gonna follow my plan anyway, because I'm choosing the long term over the short term gratification right now. And, and I'm not saying that's going to feel amazing, especially at first, right? Because you're doing
something new,
something different. But it's just amazing. If you can get a few wins under your belt, then your brain starts to go, that wasn't near as bad as we thought it was going to be. And maybe we could do that again sometime, not perfectly, right? But it's just okay, just, you start to kind of, I always say, like, you start to kind of crack the door open of possibility that you can do something different, right? And that you can do something new. So, okay. But let's go back to this deprived. So you're saying, I don't want to feel deprived, but you feel deprived because of a thought you're having, right? I mean, you can always choose to just, instead of thinking, I can't have what I want now, you can think, I can plan for it tomorrow.
Right.
Right. Or I can have it, I'm committed to my plan today, but I can always plan for it later. And so you're not depriving yourself of it forever. You're just depriving yourself of it right now. And that's
What comes to mind too is I can have it at a more social time or like at a potluck after church, where I know that's coming.
At a time when you truly will enjoy it.
Right.
Right. And it won't be this frantic, you know, or this, you know, this impulsive thing.
Right. Which it definitely was.
It's amazing. I remember on Saturday night, I planned some Ben and Jerry's ice cream. It's my favorite. I went and got a pint of Ben. It was on sale. I went and got it.
I'm in Texas here. It's what is that?
That Culver's or something? Or
No. They make it in Brenham.
Oh, okay.
The one that had to close down because they had some
Bluebell,
kind of germ.
Is it Bluebell?
That's it. Bluebell ice cream.
Yes.
Bluebell ice cream.
So, but I had bought this. I mean, I had had it in the freezer for about a week. I mean, I had been building it up, but I planned it, right? I was like, okay, I'm going to have this, and I look forward to it, and then I truly, truly enjoyed it in the time. You know,
what happened?
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I lost you.
Oh, you can't.
I can't see you anymore. What did I do wrong?
I bet something came up on your screen or something.
It did. It said, how easy was that?
Oh, okay. Can you minimize that on your screen?
I can try. Okay. Oh, there we are. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what I did.
That's usually
I'm not all that computer savvy when it comes to this Zoomy stuff.
But yeah, so I just, so it's like, okay, I want to plan this. It's something I really love. But I want to plan it intentionally and really look forward to it and not have this impulsive choice, you know? And so you just want to think about that. What kind of experience do I want with food? Do I want it to be kind of this grabby, impulsive thing? Or do I want it to be something that's planned and that I really look forward to and that is something special? So,
yeah. And it was very impulsive.
That's how you stay out of the deprivation, because you're like, I'm not depriving myself because I can have it when I plan it and when I can truly take the time to enjoy it. And it's on my plan. So there's not going to be any issue because it's going to be part of the plan. So.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Get off of here.
All right. Well, I know I'll take you off. You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
So. All right.
You're drinking my water.
Oh, good deal. Me too. I'm trying to stay hydrated. All righty. Well, we will see you later, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. Oh, my gosh. I love her. All right. Let's see. Julie said, is there a worksheet? What I'm going to do is kind of type up the notes, all the notes that I did for this call, and I'm going to put them in the show notes. And so you'll be able to kind of take your excuses and justifications through the through the process, right? Basically, after you've written them down and looked for patterns and really identify ones that you really want to work on, is you want to ask yourself, is this just something that's totally bullshit? Maybe I'll even do like one of those little charts, you know, where you kind of take your excuse. I love it when I come up with little ideas, right? Like you take your excuse, right? And then you ask yourself, like, okay, is it legit? Well, hold on. First you do like, and again, I'm just kind of like legit or bullshit. I love that rhymes. And then you do like, you know, if it's legit, then you come up with a solution. If it's bullshit, then you do the model, you know, that we talked, or the thought that we talked about, where you just kind of dismiss it. And we can kind of draw something out like that, where it's kind of a decision tree. Decision tree. Thank you, Adrian. I couldn't remember the exact term. But we've actually done that already on something else here in the tribe that we used for our 6-day girls. It was about other people's opinions. And so you up at the top, you put other people's opinions and it's like, okay, is it true? You know, no, dismiss. Or if it's true, you know, yes. Or do I care about it? You know, just like it's a whole kind of diagram of, just, okay, what do I want to do with this? Right. Once I identify an excuse that I use over and over again, let me just really kind of break it down and decide what I really need to do to work on removing it, you know, long-term, because it's not serving me right now, because it's resulting in me overeating. So I will work on that. But before that, because that will take some graphics and stuff like that, I will type up all of this stuff, and y'all can at least kind of decide if it's bullshit, you're going to do this. And then if it's legit, you come up with some actions. So let's see if there's anything else in the chat. Let's see. Good actions for, maybe let's do one more. Is there another legit one that somebody wants to kind of come up with some solutions for? Anything else? Okay, Laura, I'll talk to you. Mary Kay, which one, what was yours that was maybe legit? It's so interesting. Everybody else was bullshit, right? Because that's the thing. Most of them are bullshit. Most of them fall into this category. They're just something that you've thought for a long time. Yeah, Adrian says, all my excuses are bullshit. And basically, all of them can be bullshit if you just decide they are, right? I mean, even if it's something like what we were helping Madeline with, where she could just say, you know what, like, I'm just going to decide this is bullshit and kind of, you know, come up with another way to think about it. Like, I can figure this out. Yeah, they're all thoughts. Everything is a thought. Because even Madeline saying, I zone out, you know, when I'm with in social situations, she can just decide that that's a thought, and that, like, and just can decide, okay, I'm going to figure this out. That's really what happened, was that she just decided, okay, that's just not something I want to think anymore. That's not an excuse I want to think anymore about social situations, because social situations is the circumstance. That's the only fact. And then you can just decide, okay, I'm going to figure out this whole social situation thing, and I'm going to do something new. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Sabotaging by a family member. Ooh, that's interesting. Darla. Let me ask y'all, can anyone else sabotage us? Does anyone else have the power to sabotage us? Nope, you're right. Only if they add gluten to my food and I don't know it. Adrian, you're cracking me up. Darla says she knows it's BS. Okay, so we don't even need to model it. But it's just so interesting, right? It's like we're just kind of working on awareness right now and just saying, wow, I keep thinking other people are like trying to sabotage me. Do they really have the ability to do that? Because no, they don't. So, well, Nancy, no. I mean, we can't, they don't have the power. We can't give them the power. We always have the power. The only way that we give them power is we say, like, okay, you know, I'm going to overeat because of a thought that I have about you, but it's still always up to us, right? We're always in control. People can do, say anything, and we get to decide what we make that mean. And we get to decide if we want to eat over it. So it's pretty freeing to think, Yeah, Darla. Your husband brought your ice cream last night is the circumstance. Oh my gosh, this has happened to me. my husband has brought me things before. I've asked him not to, but you know, it happens sometimes. And that's my husband brought it to me. You don't want to waste it, right? That's a big one. Don't want to waste it. Don't want it to go bad, but he gave it to me. This is the way I like to think about when someone gives me food. Corinne used to call that the gift of fat, which was one of my favorite terms. She doesn't really use it very much anymore. Excuses are thoughts, Alejandra. They're all thoughts. There are no excuses that are circumstances. Circumstances are things, just things that happen out in the world. Have you all seen this? I realized that this was still on this pad. This is my favorite way of teaching the model and envisioning circumstances. And then we'll get off of here. I could talk all night, y'all. Here it is. Glenn came up with this diagram at one of the camps that we had, her and her genius. But this is actually a way that you can see the model. So you see that if you look, really look, you'll see the C and the T and the F and the A and the R here. So this is really kind of how the model works, is that all these circumstances are out in this world. And you'll see this lovely little stick figure here. That's you or me or any of us, right? Because models are all about us. And so we're the only person that can be in the model, right? And you know how we always say, we're the only person that can be in the result line. So the C's are out here just floating out in the world. Coronavirus is out here. What other people say to us is out here. What else? Y'all give me some other circumstances where it's just like weather is out here. You know, all kinds of different, anything that people say or do is out here, right? Husband bringing ice cream is out here, Darla. Thank you. Or thank you, Angie. Right? That's all out here. The number on the scale, thank you, Nancy, is also out here. Any number, any facts in the world, right, are just out here. I like to picture it like they're just out here floating around. And I get to decide to kind of grab one and decide what I want to think, feel, and act about it. Act, you know, towards it. Right? And so it's like, I have control over this. None of this we have control over, right? We don't have control over coronavirus, right? We don't have control over, I mean, the number on the scale, we have some control over, but when we step on that scale, that's the number, right? We certainly don't have control over what other people say or do. But this is what we have control over. This is what's, I like to kind of picture it like being kind of closer to us, like kind of like the solar system, right? Like we're the sun and our results are, you know, are here with us. We control our results. And then we think, feel, and act. That's kind of like going around us. And then all the circumstances are out here. But our thoughts, feelings, and actions kind of protect us, like from the circumstances. That's the way I kind of like to envision it. Like I always control how I think, feel, and act about anything that's out here. So I'm always in control, always. So if husband bringing me ice cream is out here, if anybody bringing me anything is out here, I get to decide how I think, feel, and act about it. And that's the result that I get. So I just love this way to envision the model. And I know that Corinne has taught this a few times, but I know some of y'all are new and some of y'all just may have not have seen it. And I just love to picture the model that way because the model is a cycle, right? It is a cycle of thinking, feeling, and acting and getting the result. Thinking, feeling, and acting and getting the result over and over again, right? And so we see that. All right, Laura, I see your hand raised. I'll get you on here and then we'll get out of here. Jessica, working from home is a circumstance. Now, all the snacks doesn't sound totally neutral to me. But you could say, I'm working from home, that's a circumstance, and I have this, this, and this food in my cabinet, right? But all the snacks is a thought. That's a thought. Because that doesn't, it's not neutral, right? It's got some emotion attached to it. So, all right. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Can you turn? Oh. There you are. Okay. Hi. What's going on? You got a question?
Well, so yeah. So, you know, it's okay. So I've never done this before. This is the first video I've ever done. I've ever like that I've actually watched live. So, forgive me if I'm, I don't know, okay, doing something wrong, but no. So it's like, I know the excuses that I'm making. I'm saying like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, or I deserve this, or, you know, I don't even think about it, so that it doesn't matter. And, but it's like, I don't know how to stop that train I'm on. Like, mm-hmm. I know what's happening, mm-hmm. and how do I not do that anymore and make the better choice?
What do you think? What do you think is the solution? If you had to guess.
I mean, obviously just don't do it.
Yeah.
But
why haven't you just not done it?
I think because of all the excuses, I deserve it. You know, I've had a long day. I'm I'm exhausted.
Yeah. You're giving yourself a million reasons to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you just got all the reasons. You're not giving yourself any reasons not to.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and mm-hmm. that's what all this work is about, is that you got to start questioning. You got to first become aware of them, right? And that's the first step. And that's, you know, this sounds like you're pretty aware of some of them, right? Like I've had a long day. I deserve it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to start questioning that and say, okay, is that bullshit, or is that a legitimate excuse?
Yeah.
And just really start to kind of, you know, the first step is to write it down. And then when you see it there in black and white, say, okay, this is what I've been thinking, and it's all okay. I'm just kind of becoming aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And do I want to keep thinking this? Right? Is this getting me, is this thought, because it's just a thought, is this thought getting me the result that I want in my life? Right? If you think about the model, you know, the result line down the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. Is this thought getting me the result that I want?
Which is not, because it's not,
because you end up overeating, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's a matter of, okay, if I want a different result, then I'm going to have to start thinking differently.
Okay.
And also, let's just do your model one. So, and this is really good. This will be the last thing we do, because I think this is really good to talk about. So what is the result that you do want? Let's start down at the bottom.
Well, I would like to feel good in my wedding dress.
Okay. I like that, not just lose weight, right? I mean, you've got a very specific, compelling reason, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we could say that, you know, you can feel good in your wedding dress whenever you want, because you can feel good through your thoughts, right?
Well, Yes, but I'd also
but like physically, like you want to fit into your wedding dress, right? Yeah. I was there a couple of years ago. I know where you are. So what do you need to do in the action line? So just work up from there. What do you need to do in the action line to have your wedding dress fit you well?
I need to lose weight.
Okay. So let's get more specific. What are the actions that you need to take?
Well, I need to, you know, stick to my plans. I need to, you know, exercise daily. I need to.
So four basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four basics. You want to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, so how do you need to feel to do these things, we'll say, consistently? And this is as opposed to what you've been doing in the past, or, you know, where you've been overeating and stuff.
I guess, I need to feel like I can do it, or like I can be successful.
So that's your thought, right? I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
How does that thought feel? Ooh, I got to sneeze.
Well, it should feel good, but right now,
too bad.
Bless you.
I know. I've got a loud sneeze. Sorry.
But right now it just feels like it's overwhelming. It's too much. Like,
okay. So this, I can do it is not going to work for you. So let's start with the feeling first. How do you think you need to feel? And I want you to give me two or three feelings here. How do you think you need to allow yourself to feel, you know, positive, negative, all kinds of different emotions, right? You're going to have some mixed emotions here. You're not going to feel just motivated all the time, right?
I guess like feeling in control.
In control. Here's another one that you're going to have to feel. Some discomfort, right?
Yeah.
Because you're doing something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing something different than you've done in the past. You've told yourself before that you had a long day and you deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear that thought come in, and you're going to redirect your mind to something new. And that's not going to feel amazing at first.
Yeah.
But you're still going to feel in control, but you're going to feel some discomfort. And this is something I wanted to point out to everybody that, I mean, and this is the intentional model, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to feel discomfort on purpose because you know that that's part of the deal to ultimately lose weight. And so a lot of you all will do intentional models that only have these like rainbows and daisies kind of feelings in them, right?
Yeah. But
that's not how you get to your goal. It's, you know, there's going to be some that you're going to feel in control sometimes. You're going to feel uncomfortable sometimes. You're going to feel self-doubt sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, you're feeling this discomfort, you know, when in that moment, and it's like instead of the other way. So like, if I was just to eat, yeah, I'm in control of what I'm eating, but then afterwards I feel all the discomfort and upset.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, feel the discomfort and upset right now, right? Because I'm not choosing to, you know, eat whatever, right? But you know,
that I'll never forget. I did a coaching call. I think it was like a couple of years ago, and it was like, it's going to be crappy either way, especially at first. It's going to be crappy. It's, you know, it's just going to be crappy sometimes to like choose to, you know, to follow your plan and to choose to the four basics. And I said, you know, choose your crappy. You can have the crappy at the, you know, and get the result you want, or you can have crappy and get, you know, the result you don't want. Right. And so you might as well choose the discomfort and get what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, but there's just going to be discomfort either way.
Right.
And so it's just like, there's no way to get around discomfort.
Yeah.
So, okay. So to feel in control, but also to feel some discomfort, what do you need to be thinking here to
like
something really kind of, you know, realistic, right? Something,
you know, maybe like just taking it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can do this today.
I can do this today.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Mary Jo, who is, you know, our community manager. She talks about when she quit smoking years ago. And she said, you know, I always told myself, I'm just not going to smoke today. Right. She just focused on like this today, one day at a time. Right. It wasn't like I never get to smoke for the rest of my life, but I'm just not going to smoke today. And so that's the same here. Right. It's just like, okay, I can do this today.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I quit smoking multiple times. And I feel like that was a lot easier than this.
Okay. Well, think about though, how did you do it? What kind of things did you tell yourself when you, so you have quit smoking, you said?
Yeah. So I read a book. It was, I don't know, The Easy Way to Quit Smoking or something. And so I just kind of read the book and it's like, I just stopped and I just decided I wasn't a smoker anymore. And like from that day on, I decided I just can't do that anymore because I don't like how it makes me feel. My longtime boyfriend / fiance at the time, he didn't know that I had started smoking again, and we would not be together if I smoked. So obviously he is more important than smoking cigarettes. And I just decided that's just not something I do. And it was kind of sad. And I cried about it because I was very sad.
Yeah. Because I really mourned it. Yeah. It was something that was part of your life for a long time.
But that I just decided that's just not what I do anymore. And that was that. So I don't know why it's harder with food.
It's not. It's just that you haven't decided that overeating just isn't something you do anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news about food is that you don't have to stop it. You know, you don't have to stop eating altogether, right? You can even overeat every once in a while and you can still lose weight, right? But you could just say like, overeating is just something, you know, it's just something I don't do anymore. And again, you don't have to be perfect at it, but you can practice that thought. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's something that has worked for you in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So you want to use that, like that wisdom that you already have with other things in your life. And it's just like, okay, I can just decide that overeating is something I'm working on believing that overeating is just something I don't do anymore. And, you know, that add that kind of latter, you know, that latter thought in there, like, okay, I'm just working on this. I'm working on believing that overeating is not something, you know, I need to do anymore. It's not something I do anymore.
Well, not every day that I, you know, don't do it, it'll be easier, that much easier the next day.
Right.
So.
Right. Just like smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like smoking. And then the other thing you did was that you had a really good, compelling reason for quitting.
Yeah.
Because your husband or your boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't want your boyfriend to know, or you didn't want to, I mean, you just didn't want to be a smoker with him.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that is something again that you can just decide about overeating. You can just decide that, okay, I don't want to be I don't want to be with myself, you know, as an overeater, right? I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be with myself, you know, as an overeater.
Right.
Because it's just not something.
It's tiring.
What'd you
say? It's tiring, like this fight. It's like, should I do this? Should I not do this? And it's exhausting. Yeah.
In the end, it's like, what are you really getting out of all this work that you're doing, right? you know, you're getting this just this very, very short term immediate gratification. And then it's just the, you know, the crappiness, right? It's the, you know, it's that discomfort, that long term discomfort.
Right.
So it's just a matter of deciding, okay, I've done this. It's not working for me. So it's just not something I'm going to do anymore. You know, I'm going to do my best to not do it anymore. Right. And it's, and again, it's not like you got to be perfect. I mean, with food, you know, it may just happen sometimes, right? Where you just go past your plus two or whatever every once in a while, accidentally, but you just.
But like the snacking when I know I'm not hungry or at like.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that can just like, just end real quick. Because if you're not hungry, it's just like, okay, this is just, this is some of that overeating that I don't do anymore. Because I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, like, what is something that I wouldn't ever do if I didn't need to? Like, you know, talking about like eating when you're not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could come up with, I don't know if anybody else has any ideas, but I thought about like, you would never go to the bathroom. Like you would never go sit on the toilet if you didn't need to go.
Yeah.
That's the only one I could come up with. But it's just like you want to start thinking about eating when you're not hungry, as ridiculous as going and sitting on the toilet when you don't need to go. Because your body does not need it, right? Your body does not need to do this thing right now. It does not need food. And so,
go and fill up your car with gas when it's already on full.
Right.
Because it'd be a waste of time, a waste of energy, and
Yeah. So it's just like, you really want to start thinking of just kind of zooming out and thinking like, why would I ever eat when I wasn't hungry? Right. I mean, just like I would never do that. And, you know, it's, or, you know, just really kind of starting just to question everything and just, just get really curious about it. So I think you are, I just really want you to use the, you know, the skills that you already have, like I said, with quitting smoking and applying it to this.
I mean, I feel a lot better about this. Like, you know, I know what to do. It's just focusing on doing it. So, and being okay with discomfort and
Right. And it's just like when you, like I was saying before, like the first couple of times, it's just going to be like, okay, this is that discomfort she was talking about. But it only takes like one or two times when you kind of come out the other side and you're like, okay, that was not nearly as bad as I thought. And I can absolutely do that again.
You know,
just get a few wins under your belt and then you'll just really be proving to your brain that you can do something different and that you can handle it. So, somebody said, you wouldn't try to sneeze if you didn't have to sneeze.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
So anyway, so, okay, well this was a good one. So when are you getting married?
Hopefully June.
Okay. All right.
June 2020, I have to fly.
Okay.
To go to my shower in a few weeks and think that might be getting canceled and so
lots
we'll see.
Of opportunities for thought work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Lots of opportunities. That's the way I'm thinking about it these days. This is an amazing opportunity to manage our mind for sure. So
All right.
Well, I always thought when I, you know, when I was doing wedding planning and stuff a couple of years ago, I always thought, you know, when I, something would happen or, you know, I would get stressed out, I would think, you know what, we could just get, you know, get up and go tomorrow to the courthouse if we really wanted to. That's what's really important, right? It's just the two of you and, you know, so kind of just getting it into perspective, I think is a good thing.
Yeah. It'll all happen one way or another.
It'll all happen. And there'll be a story, right? There'll be a story to tell. So.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Well, take care.
All right. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. I went a little bit longer than I planned. But I thought this was really good to just kind of coach a few people specifically on their excuses and justifications. And then, like I said, I will be putting all the show notes from this call in on the website, and then also in the podcast, if I have enough room on that little space on the podcast. But it'll definitely be on the website with the replay that will go up sometime tomorrow. So, all right, guys, take care. And today's just Monday. Wednesday night, Coach Kathy will be on office hours, and then Thursday, Kathy will be back doing the Q&A. So those are the next couple of calls we've got to look forward to. So, all right, guys, see you. Bye.